Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. And today we're going to be diving into the story of Joe Jameson.
Joe Jameson.
Now, I'll be honest, I'd never heard of him before.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me all this material.
Right.
But wow, this guy?
Yeah.
He sounds fascinating.
Oh, he's pretty incredible.
Yeah, so we're going to be exploring his life and really kind of get into the mind of this young man whose ideas about technology mm-hmm. were so far ahead of their time.
Decades. Decades.
Really remarkable.
I mean, it's just mind-blowing, really, when you think about the context, right? Because this all unfolds in post-World War II England.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a time of rebuilding and austerity.
Yeah.
Not exactly known for being on the cutting edge of technology.
Right.
And yet here's Joe growing up in this rural town.
Right.
Seemingly worlds away from like the big labs and universities.
Yeah.
And he's already got this really like prescient understanding of where technology's headed.
It's like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading through this material, and you mentioned he was so fascinated by his family's 10-inch black and white TV.
Yeah, just a little 10-inch screen.
Oh, can you imagine? That was it?
That was their window to the world.
Yeah.
But you know the thing about Joe is he didn't just see what was, he saw what could be, you know?
Yeah.
He's thinking about flat screens.
Right.
Vibrant colors.
Crystal clear images.
Yeah.
I mean, we take that for granted now.
We do.
But back then, that was like...
Oh, it was practically science fiction?
Yeah.
It's like he's looking through this clunky old box and seeing the future of television.
It's amazing.
It really is.
And it wasn't just TVs either?
No.
You said he was fascinated by their phone?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, back then, that was a rotary dial.
Oh, yeah. Touch of the wall heavy, you know?
And so But he's looking at that and thinking, someday, you'll be able to hold it in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, a device smaller than that old receiver.
Yeah.
And not just talk to people, but see them. I mean, that must have seemed absolutely outlandish back then.
It's incredible.
But Joe saw it, you know? He saw the potential for these technologies to become smaller.
Right.
More powerful.
More integrated into our lives.
Yeah, more integrated.
It's like he understood the trajectory.
He did.
Even as a kid.
He understood the trajectory even as a kid.
And it sounds like he wasn't just daydreaming.
No.
Like he was...
No, he was curious.
He wanted to know how it worked.
He wanted to figure it out.
I mean, you shared those notes about him taking apart radios and clocks.
Oh, yeah. His parents let him tinker.
Oh, that's great.
I know his mom probably wasn't thrilled about the mess.
Right. I can imagine.
But think about what he was learning, right? I mean, from these piles of wires and gears.
Yeah.
You know, while other kids were out playing games, he was getting this hands-on experience.
Right.
With circuits, with mechanics.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It reminds me of that story about a young Henry Ford.
Oh, right.
Taking apart his dad's watch.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And I think there's something about that. I mean, that hands-on curiosity to really kind of understand how things operate.
Yeah, that urge to kind of like peel back the layers and see what's underneath, you know?
Yeah.
And for Joe, it wasn't just tinkering. He was actively studying.
Yeah.
I mean, he was devouring library books.
Yeah, yeah.
About circuits.
All about wiring.
Trying to understand these really complex concepts.
Yeah.
At an age when most kids are barely figuring out long division.
Yeah.
It wasn't just playing around.
Right.
It was a very focused effort to gain a deeper understanding.
So I'm picturing like his notebooks filled with these wild ideas for inventions.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder,
you
know, what did the people around him think?
Right.
I mean, here he is, this kid from a small town talking about this futuristic technology.
Yeah. Thinking machines.
Did they even take her seriously?
It's easy to imagine the skepticism, right? I mean, post-war England, everyone's focused on practical matters.
Right.
Rebuilding
their lives.
Yeah. Getting back on their feet. And then you got this young boy talking about thinking machines and pocket-sized phones.
Right.
It must have seemed like a child's fantasy
right.
to a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, but he wasn't totally dismissed.
No, not totally.
So there were these...
There were a few key people.
Who kind of nurtured his talent.
Yeah, who saw something more.
Yeah.
You mentioned a teacher named Mr. O'Brien.
Yeah, Mr. O'Brien.
He seems to have been one of the first to really recognize Joe's potential.
Yeah.
He encouraged his curiosity, you know, provided him with resources.
Yeah.
He basically became kind of an early champion.
It's amazing how one person,
isn't it,
can make such a difference.
Yeah, especially for a young mind that's kind of exploring these unconventional ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it can be the validation they need to keep pushing forward.
And you mentioned another teacher, Miss Jenkins?
Yes, Miss Jenkins.
Who connected him with a scientist?
Yes, Dr. Carter.
Dr. Carter.
Working in a big city lab.
Yeah, I mean, think about that.
Oh, no.
A kid from a small town?
Yeah.
Suddenly has access to this whole other world.
I know, it's like a doorway opens to a whole new world of possibilities.
Okay, so I have to ask, what was Dr. Carter's reaction?
Well,
I mean, did he see him as just this wide-eyed kid?
You know,
with crazy ideas?
You know, it's funny because from what you've shared, it sounds like Dr. Carter was genuinely impressed.
Really?
He saw past those rudimentary prototypes.
Yeah.
And he recognized the brilliance behind Joe's concepts.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Getting validation from a respected scientist.
Yeah.
Must have been incredibly empowering for young Joe.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it wasn't just the encouragement either.
Right.
Dr. Carter probably opened up this whole new realm of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. Gave him access to information and resources.
Right. That he wouldn't have had.
That he wouldn't have had otherwise.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that mentorship, you know, it wasn't just a pat on the head and a good job.
Right.
It was providing guidance.
Yeah.
Answering his questions.
Yeah.
Helping him refine his ideas.
So it was like a spark of genius that was being fanned into a flame.
Yes, exactly.
So we got this picture of Joe driven by this insatiable curiosity.
Yeah.
Devouring all this information.
Uh-huh.
Tinkering away in his workshop.
Yeah, his little makeshift workshop.
But what was he working on?
Yeah.
What was this thinking machine he was so obsessed with?
Well, that's where things get really fascinating. Because he wasn't just building a computer.
Right.
He was developing a whole new architecture for how computers should operate.
Okay.
You know, he called it the Joseph Jameson architecture.
I mean.
And it's eerie how similar it is to the fundamental principles behind the devices that we're using right now to have this conversation.
I'm no computer scientist.
Right.
But I know enough to be impressed by that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a time when computers were these giant room-sized behemoths.
Yeah, behemoths is a good word.
I mean, and mainly used for like really complex calculations.
Right.
So what was so revolutionary about Joe's vision?
Well, back then, computers were designed with these separate units, right, for processing and memory.
Oh.
So imagine like having a brain in one room and a filing cabinet full of information in another.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe's idea was to have a system where the instructions and the data were stored together, you know, integrated into a single unit.
So he was basically thinking about computers more like a human brain.
Exactly.
Where everything is interconnected.
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible.
And accessible.
Especially for a kid who's barely a teenager.
It is incredible.
That's really remarkable.
It is.
And what's even more amazing is that he actually built a prototype.
He did, a working prototype.
It wasn't pretty, but
it wasn't pretty, no.
He made it work.
But it worked.
At a basic level.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
It functioned.
And I love that he was bridging the gap.
Absolutely.
Between theory and practice. Yeah. Not just dreaming these big dreams, but figuring out how to make them work.
He wanted to manifest them in the real world.
Yeah.
And that takes a special kind of drive and determination.
And I imagine it wasn't a straight path to success.
Oh, no.
Like there must have been moments of frustration.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Where his thinking box just wouldn't work.
You know, his thinking box, as he called it, would just stop working.
Yeah.
But he never gave up.
That's great.
He just kept tinkering, kept refining his designs, learning from his mistakes.
Yeah.
That resilience is another key element.
That's really the classic tale of the inventor.
It is.
You know, all those hours of trial and error and that unwavering belief in their vision.
Exactly. Even when others doubt.
Even when others doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a...
But it's more than just the technical brilliance with Joe, you know?
Okay.
Because he wasn't just fixated on computers.
Right.
His vision was much, much broader.
Okay.
He was imagining how technology could transform entire industries, you know?
Okay.
From transportation to energy, even to how we live and interact with each other.
Yeah.
It's like he was looking into a crystal ball and seeing the future unfold.
So his vision extended beyond these thinking machines.
Oh, way beyond.
What else was he interested in?
Well, he was thinking about aviation, space travel, nuclear energy, even underwater cities.
It's like he's envisioning things straight out of science fiction.
I know.
And we're still talking about a young man here.
We are.
What fueled this incredible imagination?
Yeah.
Was there like a particular event or experience that sparked these futuristic ideas?
Well, there was.
Okay.
In 1951, he visited the Festival of Britain in London.
Okay.
So picture this. Young Joe, fresh from his rural town, stepping into this world, showcasing the latest advancements in science, technology, and design.
That must have been mind-blowing for him.
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of things were on display at this festival?
Well, it's a showcase of innovation.
Okay.
You know, a glimpse into a future full of possibilities.
Okay.
You mentioned he was really captivated by the Skylon.
Yeah, this towering.
This towering.
Cigar-shaped structure.
Yes, cigar-shaped.
What was it about that resonated with
you? You know, picture this. A sleek metal structure seemingly floating effortlessly above the ground.
Yeah.
It just symbolized ambition, you know, a reach for the stars.
Yeah.
A belief in the power of human ingenuity to achieve the impossible.
Yeah.
And that spirit, that bold vision of the future, that's what resonated with Joe.
Okay.
And it's no coincidence that his sketches and designs took on an even bolder, more futuristic feel after that visit.
So it was like a visual representation of the future that he was already imagining.
It was.
Yeah. Did the festival showcase anything related to his interest in computers?
Oh, yeah. They had exhibits
featuring
the latest advancements in computing technology.
Now, remember, this is still the early days.
Oh, yeah. We're talking massive room-size machines.
Yeah.
Not the sleek laptops and smartphones we have today. Yeah. But for Joe, it was a glimpse into this world where computers would become increasingly powerful.
Yeah.
Accessible.
More integrated into everyday life.
Integrated. That's right.
It's fascinating how he could see the potential.
I know.
In these early machines.
It is.
Well, probably most people.
Right. They just saw these, like.
Just saw a bunch
complicated, expensive contraptions.
Yeah.
But he saw something more.
Yeah.
He saw the future.
Yeah. So did this festival experience.
Oh, yeah.
Did it have a lasting impact on his work?
Absolutely. It solidified his belief in the transformative power of technology.
Yeah.
It broadened his horizons,
right.
Exposed him to this whole world of ideas and possibilities far beyond his little town.
Yeah.
And it really fueled his ambition to be a part of shaping that future.
Okay, so we've got this incredible spark of inspiration from the Festival of Britain.
Yes.
But let's get back to the specifics of his vision.
Sure.
You mentioned supersonic jets.
Yeah.
Missions to the moon, harnessing nuclear energy.
It's like he was reading right out of science fiction.
I know. I mean, it's it's incredible.
Well, you have to remember, this was the post-war era, right?
Okay.
I mean, this was a time of tremendous technological advancement.
Right.
I mean, the jet engine had just been invented. You know, the space race was heating up.
Yep.
Nuclear power was seen as this, you know, both this source of energy and a potential weapon.
Right.
And Joe was absorbing all of this, letting his imagination just run wild.
And it wasn't just about the technology itself.
No.
It sounds like he was really interested in how these advancements could, you know, solve real world problems.
Yeah, solve problems.
Improve people's lives.
Yeah, improve lives.
So it was more than just like.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just about gadgets and gizmos.
Yeah, yeah.
He really wanted to use technology
to
create a better future for humanity.
Yeah. And that's.
That's a really important point.
It's a really important point.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in the wow factor of his ideas.
Yeah.
But what's truly remarkable is his focus on using technology for good to solve those real world challenges.
And it's not just about like the big ambitious project. Right. Like he's also.
Yeah. You mentioned portable music players.
Right. Yeah.
Like, imagine that. A time when music was mostly experienced.
Right. On like a big record player.
Yeah. Through these bulky record players.
Or a radio.
Yeah, or radio broadcasts.
Yeah.
Joe saw this future.
Where
you could carry your favorite music with you.
Carry it with you.
Wherever you went.
And it's wild to think how many of his predictions.
I know.
Have actually come true.
I know.
We're living in that world
where
all these ideas that seemed so far-fetched.
They're just commonplace now.
Commonplace.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about visionaries, right?
Yeah.
They have this uncanny ability.
Yeah.
To see past the limitations of the present
and
envision possibilities that others can't even fathom.
They're not bound by
the
conventional thinking or the limitations in the current technology.
Exactly. Exactly.
They see where things are headed.
They see the potential. They see the trajectory, the direction things are headed.
Yeah.
And they're driven to make those visions a reality.
And in Joe's case, it wasn't just about dreaming.
No.
He was a builder. He was a tinkerer.
He was a doer.
He didn't just imagine these things.
Yeah.
He figured out how to make them work.
He wanted to make them work.
Yeah.
You mentioned his notebooks.
Yeah.
Filled with sketches and designs.
Like all sorts of inventions.
Yeah, all sorts of inventions.
And even though a lot of those prototypes were really rudimentary.
They were rudimentary, but they were there.
It showed that he was committed to turning his ideas into
tangible objects.
Oh, yeah.
Bridging that gap between imagination and reality.
He wasn't afraid.
No.
To get his hands dirty.
Nope.
To experiment, to fail.
Yeah, he embraced failure.
And to learn from his mistakes.
As a learning opportunity.
That hands-on approach is really something
that
stands out.
It does.
About his story.
Yes.
It's not just these abstract ideas.
No.
It was about turning those ideas into something concrete.
That's right, making them real.
And it sounds like he had this remarkable ability to communicate his vision.
Oh, he did.
And to get other people excited about these ideas.
Yeah, he could really get people fired up.
That must have been a real gift.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially when these ideas seem so outlandish.
I remember he started giving presentations at a young age.
Yeah. I mean, I'm picturing him standing in front of a room full of adults describing his vision for the future.
Yeah.
He must have been
quite
a charismatic speaker.
He did,
to be able to capture their attention.
He had a knack for explaining complex concepts in a way that was engaging and understandable, even to people who weren't technically inclined.
To make them take his ideas seriously.
Yeah, he didn't talk down to people.
Yeah.
He met them where they were.
It sounds like he was...
From the accounts you shared, it seems like he was quite charismatic.
Yeah, and he had this natural talent.
He did.
Storytelling.
Storytelling, yes.
I mean, he could really make you see the possibilities.
Yeah.
Feel the excitement.
He could paint these vivid pictures...
Of this future...
With his words.
Shaped by technology.
Yeah, and that ability to communicate, to inspire.
Yeah.
That was crucial to his success.
Yeah.
You know, he knew that he couldn't achieve his vision alone.
Right.
He needed to build this network of supporters, collaborators, believers.
Yeah. And it sounds like he was successful in doing that.
Yeah.
You mentioned that he...
Well, he caught the attention of a local newspaper.
Yeah.
And that led to more media coverage.
Right.
And more speaking engagements.
So it's like his story started to capture.
It did. It captured the public imagination.
Yeah. I mean, people were drawn to his...
They were drawn to his youthful enthusiasm.
Yeah.
His bold vision.
His belief in technology.
Yes, his unwavering belief in the power of technology to transform the world.
So he became a symbol.
He did, yeah.
Of innovation.
A poster child for the limitless potential of human ingenuity.
It's amazing how...
He's amazing.
One young man...
Yeah.
Armed with curiosity...
Yeah.
His imagination and his determination can have such an impact.
And you know what? It makes you think about the challenges he must have faced.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we often focus on successes of these brilliant inventors, but we sometimes forget about the setbacks.
The moments of doubt.
The moments of doubt.
Yeah. So
did Joe encounter any obstacles on his path?
I mean, was it lack of resources?
Yeah.
Was it skepticism from others?
Yeah.
Or was it something else?
It was a combination of things.
Okay.
You know, remember, this was a time when computers were still in their infancy.
Right.
The technology was rudimentary. The components were really expensive and hard to come by.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of established knowledge or support systems for aspiring computer engineers.
So he was basically forging his own path, figuring things out as he went.
That's exactly right.
That must have been...
So frustrating.
Well, because he had this incredible vision.
Right.
But he was limited by the available technology.
Right, yeah.
And the prevailing understanding of what was even possible.
So that gap between his imagination.
That gap must have been incredibly frustrating.
And what he could actually build.
Yeah.
It's like having this grand symphony in your head.
Yes.
But only being able to play it on a child's toy piano.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the reactions he got when he was trying to explain his ideas?
Yeah.
Remember, this is a time when computers were still seen as these giant, mysterious machines used primarily by scientists and mathematicians.
Right.
The idea of a personal computer.
Right.
A device that could be used for creative expression.
Right.
Communication.
Entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment must have seemed utterly bizarre to a lot of people. So he was facing skepticism, not just from the average person, but also from...
Well, potential investors, from collaborators, even from people within the scientific community.
So he's this visionary.
He is.
Who's too far ahead of his time.
Yeah, classic story.
Yeah, but even with all these challenges, he never gave up.
That's right, he never gave up.
What kept him going?
You know, I think it was a combination of factors.
Yeah.
I mean, he had this unwavering belief in his vision, this conviction that he was onto something truly revolutionary.
Right.
And that was fueled by his curiosity,
his
passion for exploring the unknown, his desire to make a positive impact on the world.
So he had this internal compass.
Yeah, I like that.
Guiding him towards this brighter future.
Yes, this brighter future.
And you mentioned that he wasn't afraid to reach out to others for help.
No.
So did those mentors.
They did.
And collaborators.
They were.
Did they help to keep his spirits up?
Oh, absolutely.
During those difficult times.
I did.
I mean, it really is a reminder of the power of community.
It is.
Have those people around you who share your vision.
Who get it.
Yeah.
Who understand.
And support your journey.
And support you.
And it's not always about having the answers yourself.
Yeah.
It's about
collaboration.
Collaborating.
Learning from others.
And accepting help when it's offered.
Absolutely. Accepting help.
And it's not just about the emotional support either.
Oh, no.
I mean, these mentors also, they helped him to refine his ideas.
They did.
Translate his vision.
Yeah.
Into something.
More tangible, more achievable.
Yeah. So, for example, Dr. Carter.
Yes.
He really understood the technical aspects.
He did.
Computing.
Yes.
And so he was able to.
He was able to guide Joe.
Guide Joe.
In finding those practical solutions.
Yeah.
To the challenges that he was facing.
So it was this blend of.
Yeah, it was a blend.
Mentorship.
Yeah.
Personal drive.
Yeah.
Willingness to learn and adapt.
Yes.
And it sounds like that's a recipe for success.
It is. It is a recipe for success.
Even in the face of these.
Even when it seems like.
Seemingly insurmountable obstacles.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, another crucial element to his success was his ability to communicate.
Right.
He wasn't just a brilliant inventor.
Yeah.
He was also a gifted storyteller.
Okay.
A master at explaining these complex concepts in a way that was clear, engaging, even inspiring.
And that ability to connect with people.
Yeah, to share his vision
in
a way that resonated with them, that was essential.
Right.
You know, to build the support, the resources he needed to bring his ideas to life.
You mentioned earlier that he started giving these presentations at a young age.
Uh-huh.
Were those early speaking engagements just about sharing his ideas?
It was both.
Yeah.
You know, he genuinely wanted to share his excitement about the future. To inspire others.
To see the possibility.
And see what he saw.
Right.
But he was also aware that he needed to rally, support, attract investors, build that network of people.
To believe in his vision.
Yeah. Who believed in his vision.
So those presentations were kind of like his first foray into entrepreneurship.
In a sense,
So he wasn't only a brilliant inventor.
Right.
He was a budding entrepreneur.
Yes. And don't forget his resilience.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
I mean, there were times when his experiments failed, his prototypes malfunctioned, funding dried up.
But he never let those setbacks.
Never.
So,
never. He learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
Adapted his approach.
And kept pushing forward.
Yeah, he kept pushing forward.
It really shows his character.
It does.
His grit.
Yeah.
His belief in himself.
His unwavering belief.
And his vision.
In himself and his vision.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder that, you know, innovation isn't that.
Yeah. It's not a linear process.
A straight line.
No. It's a journey.
Yeah.
With twists and turns, ups and downs.
It's those moments of challenge.
Yeah.
That really kind of make the difference.
That's when that true brilliance often shines through.
Yeah. And that's what makes Joe's story so compelling.
Absolutely.
It's not just about the gadgets and gizmos.
It's not about the gadgets, no.
It's about the human spirit.
It is.
The power of imagination.
A drive to create a better future.
And it's a story that continues to inspire us.
It does. It reminds us that anything is possible if we dare to dream big, if we work hard and never give up on that vision.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
Into the life and vision of Joe Jameson.
It's extraordinary.
We're left with a sense of awe and inspiration.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a reminder that innovation can come from these unexpected places.
Absolutely.
From those who are willing to challenge conventional wisdom.
And see the world with fresh eyes.
Yeah, and it's a testament to the power of curiosity. determination, and that unwavering belief.
The belief.
The potential of human ingenuity.
To shape a better future.
That's what it's all about. It is a recipe for success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was another crucial element to his success.
Okay.
His ability to communicate.
Yeah, you mentioned that a couple of times.
Because he wasn't just this brilliant inventor.
Yeah.
He was a gifted storyteller.
Yeah.
A master of explaining these complex concepts
right.
in a way that was clear and engaging and even inspiring.
Right.
And that ability to connect with people, to share his vision in a way that resonated with them was essential for building that support, the resources he needed.
Right. To bring his ideas to life.
To bring those ideas to life.
So you said he started giving presentations at a young age.
At a very young age.
Were those early speaking engagements just about sharing his ideas?
It was both.
On the one hand, he genuinely wanted to share his excitement about the future.
Right.
You know, to inspire others to see the possibilities that he saw.
Yeah.
But he also knew that he needed to rally support,
right.
you know, to attract investors and build that network of people who believed in his vision.
So in a way, those presentations were kind of like his first...
Yeah, his first foray into the world of entrepreneurship.
So not only a brilliant inventor, but also...
A budding entrepreneur.
Yeah, pretty remarkable.
That really is.
And his resilience too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure there were times when...
There were times when his experiments failed.
Yeah.
When his prototypes just didn't work, when the funding dried up.
Right.
But he never let those setbacks derail him.
That's great.
He learned from his mistakes, he adapted his approach, and he kept pushing forward.
It's a real testament to his character.
Yes. Grit.
His unwavering belief in himself. His belief in himself.
And in his vision.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder.
Yeah, that it is a good reminder.
Innovation is not a straight line.
It's not linear.
It's not a linear process.
No, it's a journey.
Yeah.
With twists and turns, ups and downs.
And it's in those moments of challenge.
Yeah.
Those moments of adversity.
Yeah.
That true brilliance often comes through.
It often shines through in those moments.
And I think that's what makes Joe's story so compelling.
Absolutely.
It's not just
It's not just about the gadgets.
The gadgets and the gizmos.
It's about the human spirit.
It's about the human spirit.
The power of imagination.
The drive to create a better future.
That's right.
And it's a story that continues to inspire us today.
It does.
It reminds us that anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
If we dare to dream big.
Yeah.
To work hard.
To work hard.
And to never give up on our vision.
Never give up.
And as we wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
Into the life and the vision of Joe Jameson.
Joe Jameson, an extraordinary man.
We're left with this sense of awe and inspiration.
I agree.
And it's a reminder that innovation often springs.
Yeah.
From unexpected places.
Absolutely.
From those who dare to challenge conventional wisdom.
And see the world with fresh eyes.
It's a testament to the power of curiosity, determination, and that unwavering belief in the potential of human ingenuity.
That's what it's all about.
To shape a better future for all of us.
Couldn't have said it better myself.